The entire I Do Notes podcast family is now a Spike Studio production.
It's episode number 35 of The Social Geeks, Delicious Yobongo and Tungle, brought to you by Squarespace. Welcome, everybody. Episode 35. The whole entire crew of The Social Geeks in the house tonight. I will go down my page in no random order here. Wayne Sutton.
Hello, world.
Social Wayne, as everyone knows. Sarah, you'll have to say hi really quick.
Hello.
Sarah Perez is here. Back from wherever he goes when he disappears. Caleb Elston.
Howdy.
Howdy. Corvita from the East Coast.
Hola.
And Jeff, just west of Hurricane Central.
Hello.
So, as everyone knows, yeah, the Tornado Central where I am in St. Louis. So, we're still recovering here. Everything's a big fat mess. So, to everyone that listens to us from all over, we hope, even down south right now in Alabama, we hope that everybody is healthy and safe and gets repairs done quickly, as I've been watching it progress around here. So, everybody, we're back in. We have everything broke today. We get lucky when we record because it seems they give us big news, mainly when we record here on Wednesdays. First up was one close because I've talked about him. I've interviewed the CEO numerous times. I've met with these guys. Tungle gets bought by Rim to Mark, you know, who's the CEO, who he knows I've talked to, you know, in person, hung out. He's a great guy. I don't understand Rim's maneuver here yet, even though they bought Gist. Does anybody have a clue of why they would go after Tungle?
More people to work on calendaring for the playbook.
Okay, so Caleb goes, so the calendaring, because not the, just the playbook, it's for any of the devices.
They don't have calendaring on the playbook right now.
Yeah, just ship an app for the calendar on the playbook.
Well,
more just more smart developers.
Yeah. No, they're hiring a lot of smart developers. You know, like you said, the guys from Gist, but they also acquired Tat, the Astonishing Tribe, which have done some really great UI work. And I think they're probably doing a lot of talent hires right now from these companies just to get their core apps and their interface up to speed.
Well, Corvita, you were jumping in. Go ahead.
Oh, I think it'll be a good move for them too. I can see something like TungleMe just working on the playbook. I just think it would fit nicely with it. So I think it could be a good acquisition if they actually integrate it into the playbook.
Well, you know, they have an app already for BlackBerry, right? That already exists. They're a web base. For those that don't know, it's, you know, Tungle.me is usually the place to go. Tungle rocks on Twitter, but the idea is that it's an aggregated source for all your calendars, including hooking into Google Apps, Lotus Notes, Outlook, all of them, but a web presence for you to let people schedule meetings with you over the web so they can go in one time, propose multiple times they see that you're available, and schedule a meeting, and it's all done quickly, and then you just approve the meeting times and you guys are done. Do any of you use the service right now, Tungle?
No, yes. I do not.
Yes. Who said yes?
Wayne.
I do.
Okay, both of you two. So Wayne, you first. So are you? Do you find, let's talk just about the app, forget the Rim integration. Do you find value in that ability?
In the application?
Yeah.
No, because I use everything. I mean, I use the web. Now, you're talking about just the Tungle platform. Yes, but platform. I use the, okay, well, yes, I find value in it because it seems like other bees of people are starting to use it as a simpler way to share a calendar versus, you know, especially entrepreneurs who may use Google Calendar. Tungle has the capability to say easy block out time. So just saying and show what time you're available. So it's kind of that free, busy schedule web-based way of exchange, taking that one single feature out of it, making it web-based, which I can see value for BlackBerry, which they supposed to be, you know, still primary corporate America users. So if they can integrate that with their platform, make it simple, it's a good acquisition.
What about
there's a social aspect to it as well.
Well, the social aspect is what part though? They don't tweet anything, they don't Facebook anything. Well, they can't see your Facebook calendar. I apologize. They can't see your Facebook calendar, but they don't actually, they're not in social in any way around that.
I think the biggest way they're social is that you turn something that used to be completely private to you and that you interfaced alone with, that now you're turning that out to the world and allowing others to sort of poke and prod at your calendar, which is a very smart thing, right? It's I can block off 2 or 3 hours on a Friday to do coffee meetings, and I can make that available. I can tweet that link out, and then anyone could, you know, request a meeting, which is very cool. And the other great thing is, imagine this being used in corporate America, where one of the big challenges, even at a small, medium-sized company, is coordinating everyone for a meeting. you know, there's some software to try and figure out when people have open schedules, but one of the easiest things to do is just have people look and see if the schedule is open. And so that's, I think that's kind of cool. And I do like the service. I've used it a bit, and congratulations. It's, I mean, it's always great to see entrepreneurs being able to do what they want and, you know, go work at an important company like RIM and make some money in the process. So.
Right. Well, they're both Canadian companies. We should say that. So they're both Canadian companies. They Tungle got an influx of cash a while ago, an investment. They make the scheduling part easy, but is it because RIM's native calendar really relies on you hooking to some calendaring system when you set up the device, be it Google Apps, be it, you know, Lotus Notes, be it, you know, Outlook or an Exchange, they kind of require you to hook to something to get true value out of that free time stuff. So do you think that's what it is they needed a calendaring platform to strengthen the devices?
Only five, I think so. Yeah, I think so. And it's sad to say, you would think, I mean, BlackBerry's been known as email. So I just think that, you know, the calendar, anything they can do to make it simple for, you know, bringing people together, whether it's calendars, schedule appointments, or, and then be productive, is a smart move for RIM at this current stage of the company, which they're still doing well, but it just seems like they're on the brink of, if they don't pivot or change or, you know, continue to evolve, revolutionize soon, outside of just the tablet industry or the hardware industry, where's RIM going? Would they be in the same boat as Nokia in the next few years?
Well, yeah.
But yeah.
Let's say Mark, so on his actual blog, it says Jingris posted, the Tungle team will now be sporting new BlackBerries. We're excited. It is an industry more exciting than the smartphone and tablet markets, and RIM is a dominant player in this space. So you guys, So is the playbook, now we want to talk about it because, you know, some people have touched one here. Is the playbook and tablet a dominant player in the space with their current release? Go ahead, Corvita, because you've played around with one. Go ahead.
Not right now. I mean, it's a great device, but it's not the dominating player. That's obvious. But I also think that calendaring plays a important role in email. Like, think about how many times you switch from, you know, your email just to make a schedule an appointment to your calendar. I think the Tungle Me team would understand that and understand how to integrate that inside of a platform. They have the mobile app also, and the sharing features just for the calendar, like Caleb said, they're pretty good. I don't use it personally, but I've tested it out. But I also think, you know, calendaring plays a big role in email, and for BlackBerry, that could be taking it to another level on the playbook, which is something that I don't do my scheduling on my iPhone calendar. I have a completely different app for looking at my calendar on my iPhone. You know, so the only thing that I would hope is that they have just syncing integration with Google Calendar or web calendars, pretty much, because I use Google Calendar personally, and that's not going to change.
Jeff, are you using any of these? Have you touched one of these yet?
No, I have not. I'm not familiar with the service.
Love. So Jeff sometimes has touched everything about a product we talk about. Other times he goes, no. So they also bought just a while ago, which we really didn't talk about a lot, but now a little bit of a theme. You know, Sarah brought up how they're buying the talent for the development and everything else, but a little bit of a theme. They didn't have a good native calendaring. They bought one. They didn't have a good native contact management system with just now. They've bought one. Are they making a play on the back end to start providing a device that does more to compete? Because that was lacking from them. Like I said, if you as a consumer bought a standalone BlackBerry, you didn't have a complete device that did what you needed it to do. You all don't carry BlackBerry.
Sorry, what? BlackBerry. I fell asleep. What?
I was saying, if you just bought one off the street.
Let's talk about the iPhone.
I'm getting there. But you know, to hook it to, you just didn't have a complete device if you didn't have something to hook it to, is what I was saying.
I missed the whole thread. Like, I didn't have a complete device. What?
Right. Well, and to cover the last point, you brought it up earlier, Sarah, is the playbook that you've touched, what kind of applications did you find for it?
Oh, nothing. Yeah. Right. I mean, I've downloaded some games and I don't know. I downloaded a Foursquare type application, not the official because there isn't one.
Right.
But Foreplay. But I only have a Wi-Fi, you know, connection, so it couldn't check me in, you know, using Wi-Fi.
Oh.
So I couldn't use it for that.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's just kind of just boring.
Okay.
No apps.
So the moral of the story is BlackBerry's boring.
Yeah.
I think
BlackBerry's boring.
Until there's apps that do things besides it came with, what, a driving game, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tetris. Yeah.
Need for Speed.
What?
Yeah, and Tetris.
Yeah, I like Tetris. Who doesn't like Tetris? You know.
Who's saying what? Is that Wayne?
Yeah. I'm just like, people, it's like, it kills me because, like, you see the BlackBerry commercials on TV now. And I'm not a BlackBerry hater. I used to have a BlackBerry before. I had a BlackBerry, then I had a Windows mobile phone, then I've been iPhone since then. First generation iPhone.
Right.
But BlackBerry showing commercials like the apps. Like they got Urban Spoon. Like Urban Spoon, something brand new that's innovative, and BlackBerry's cool because they got Urban Spoon. I'm sorry, but
it's cracking me up.
But Urban Spoon has been out what, like, but 4 years now, yeah. 3 years now, and it's like, I don't know who's behind the marketing genius. Stick to what the product does well, and stop trying to copy Apple.
Okay,
Apple for a reason. BlackBerry needs to. We are great at messaging. We are great at communication. And now we got Tungle. We are great at planning your calendar, and that's it. Sell to your target audience and stop trying to capture the world. The report came out saying, talking about surprising, Microsoft has 3 times as many sold what operating systems, Windows 7, than Apple. No duh, because there's so many Windows computers out there. Focus on your target market and stop trying to be cool and just sell say what you do well.
What about the ads that have been out recently for, I don't know a better word to say it, but they say flirt. Using BlackBerry Messenger, they've turned it into a dating chat service.
It's silly. It's silly. I mean, if I'm a kid, I mean, if all my friends got iPhones and Android phones, and then you know I'm gonna get out, I'm gonna purchase a BlackBerry, or I'm gonna ask my friends who can I BBM. If they don't know what BBM, but they know I mean, they said I can text, but they're marketing it to the wrong audience. I don't want a BBM. I'd rather text. So you can say BlackBerry's are great at texting. Then fine, go with that. But don't be like, oh, we can use BBM, because now I got to say, all right, which one of my friends I want to socially flirt with has a BlackBerry? I'm going to really go spend $300-$400 or either $200 so I can BBM them?
Oh, no. It's not even $200. It's for, you can get one for $39, a BlackBerry Curve for $39.
Well,
unlimited data on their private network, you can get a Curve.
My son is 3 months. I wish he would say I want a BlackBerry so he can BBM somebody. I done something wrong.
Hey, my head. So speaking of things that you can flirt with people, there's an app that launched at South by Southwest called Yobongo. Did anybody hear that?
What?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
That's a good segue. We're trying to segue. So we're lucky enough that someone has been part of the Social Geeks now for quite a while before he decided to go rogue.
Right.
And launch his own startup. So Caleb, tell us, the feeling, forget the app for a minute, what was it like to launch something at South by Southwest?
It was thrilling. Like, it was something, it was my first time at South by Southwest, so that was ridiculous. Just showing up and inundating this tiny little town of Austin with geeks was amazing. Seeing people like, saw Wayne one of the first days, which was awesome. Wayne was going to try and help us upgrade to a better hotel, and it was great. Like, we
don't. That means you'll be sleeping in the lobby of the Hilton. Don't fall for it.
No, we were. Wayne was fun, but like it was so much fun because you know there have been a lot of services in the past that have launched at South by Southwest. That it's a large group of people who are developers and designers and tech enthusiasts who come together who want to make new connections, learn about their craft, and hang out and party. And so it was a really great experience for the Yobongo app because these people were coming, and Yobongo is all about helping you make new connections and communicating in real time. So we would see people waking up 6 or 7 in the morning, starting to talk about where they should go for breakfast, planning their days, people in sessions talking about the keynotes, talking about what sessions were cool. But at night, it went nuts. Like, people were talking about which parties were hot, which parties to go to, real time, like giving other people invites, people being in a party, coming out and letting them into the back door. Like it was so cool meeting so many great people. You know, we got together with lots of ad hoc meetups, being like, oh, what hotel are you at right now? And, oh, I'm in the Hilton lobby, and walking over to the Hilton. So it was amazing. Tons of users, tons of really fun experiences. We gave away over 500 shirts to people who wanted them. It was on a panel. So it was a great way to kick off the launch of Yobongo. And we're super grateful for everyone who played with it, everyone who gave us feedback. And now we're back in San Francisco and working on improving it even more. We just had an update approved 2 days ago, which was just great.
I saw that.
So, yeah, we just keep working on improving the app and helping people connect and communicate efficiently.
When are you going to add in new cities?
Yeah, so we see dozens and dozens of tweets every day of people voting to bring it to their city. And we are working hard to make the app even better at keeping the conversations going so that when we do launch in more cities, it's a really positive experience. So we think it's still a couple more weeks till we roll out to some of the new cities at least. But that's one of our priorities is continuing to expand. But know that we will expand when we feel like the app is in really great shape to accommodate more people. But like more broadly, just you know, we've been doing this show for a while now, and the very first experience I had with you and Corvita was reviewing Tulu.
Yeah,
and that was just a little side project I'd done 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. And to go from that to now having launched something at South by Southwest and having raised money from people like Kevin Rose and Shervin Pishvar and Mitch Kapoor, the legend, and Dave Morin of Facebook, it's like it's been very, very cool and humbling to have gone through that process. And now we're working as hard as possible to keep making the app awesome and keep people happy, because that's what we wake up in the morning is to come in and work on making this thing great.
Those guys are all small timers compared to Wayne. Ain't nothing. Kevin Rose, those small time. We got Wayne for all things.
Please, please, please. I'm trying to get out, dude.
So, Jeff, did you get a chance to play with it? Are you out of the market area?
Well, there's not an Android app, so I can't play with it.
Oh, that's right, because you're Evo. No, that's I'm not calling Caleb on. I'm just saying I didn't know if you had a chance to touch it.
No, I haven't got a chance to. No, I'd love to whenever it becomes available.
So the rest of us were down there. I know I got to touch it. Corvita probably loaded it up. I know Wayne was on there all the time. Sarah probably, you know, did the same. That it was interesting to watch the influx of people clamoring to be part of any launch that was down there at all.
Yep.
Your door lady, whoever that was, there was no sneaking in your back door to your party. You guys had a huge party Friday night. She wasn't letting it happen. It was hard enough to get in the door. I was questioned for hours with whoever she was.
She did a great job. Like for people who haven't been to South by Southwest, there's a lot of parties. But one of the things that we did at our party was, we paid for people's drinks. So, you know, you just don't want some random person coming in who doesn't even know what the heck is going on, especially since at that point we hadn't raised any money. So we were paying for that party out of our pockets because we thought it was a good thing to do for people who had supported us for so long to come together. But it was fun. That party was a great time, and getting to meet everyone and talk to them in person with people we had only known on the app for a few days even coming in was a lot of fun. And so now the biggest thing is expanding the team. We've made a couple hires now, but we're hiring. So yobongo.com/jobs if you're an engineer and are looking for something cool and want to be in San Francisco, send us an email. We are looking for really talented people. So sorry for the plug, but we really want to hire a couple more awesome people to the team.
No. Good. Plug is good. You have to live in San Francisco, though, or move there?
Yeah. That's currently we're working on having the team be together. At some point, we'll probably have people who can work from other places, but we're only three people right now. So we're looking to have the team be here because we do aim to grow into a large, durable company. And so having people here is important so that as we do grow, they can lead the teams as well.
I get the feeling that Caleb will get on the show and he'll be announced he's been bought by RIM, and they now have a live service inside of their apps, inside of their devices to get together and hang out with everything. Well, that's good. No, we're proud of you. I'm glad you also, everyone knows he took a little break afterwards, which he well deserved.
Yep. First vacation in a long time. Went down to Mexico. It was lovely.
Excellent. Chris, I got a question. Please. Caleb, what's been the feedback for the new pondering feature? I mean, I like it. I think it's a one of those simple, you know, genius little add-ons to the service, because, you know, your bong is about, you know, relationships and conversations in real time, and that pondering. I mean, when do you come up with an idea and just think that, you know what, we're going to add pondering, and had an aha moment, like it's the next feature we got to add?
Yeah. So what Wayne's talking about is a few weeks ago, two and a half weeks ago, we added a feature called pondering, which is a way to describe very short, in a very short way, 15 characters or less, what you're thinking about. And it's not a status, because it could be what you're thinking about. It doesn't have to be what you're doing. So for when I was in Mexico, I was pondering what I was going to do the next day or a new design. And what's neat about it is it shows up in your profile card. So when you tap on anyone's photo, you can see information about them. And it also shows up in every message that's sent in a very faint gray color next to people's names. And that feature came about because we would see that people would come into the app and jump into the middle of a conversation and not have much context for what was happening. So someone might be talking about, you know, a new coffee shop, and the start of the conversation was saying, oh, I love coffee, or I'm going to get a latte or something. But then it would get very more detailed and specific about different coffee shops and other things. And as a result, if you came in, you might not understand how the conversation got started. And we thought that pondering, having some way to anchor the conversation, so when you come in, you could just sort of quickly glance to understand what these people are interested in and what maybe to talk about. And then on the flip side, the other thing that's really cool is ponderings give you an opportunity to start a conversation. So if you see that Wayne is pondering the Social Geeks, you could say, like, hey, Wayne, what is the Social Geeks? Or are you recording that tonight? And that's information that might not show up in your bio because that's pretty static. So ponderings, we see people change ponderings many times per day.
Come up with 15 characters.
So a big part of it was we didn't want to have – so for most names, because we displayed on a chat message, We wanted to make sure that most of the time it didn't wrap to below the name and make the chat bubbles even larger.
Okay.
So we sort of looked at the average length of most people's names, and that tended to fit pretty well on one line. And also we put in, like, we without any character limit for a day, we were just putting in ideas for, like, what we would ponder sort of as a prototype. And most of them were around 15 characters or less.
Do you know when you're going to get us the next update then?
So we're working on the next update right now, and we're trying as hard as possible to keep a very fast pace. We've had 3 updates already.
Okay.
in about a month and a half. So we're working hard to keep the updates coming out. The next one is really focused on speed. We think that Yobongo can be a lot faster to open, a lot faster to resume, and that when you make things faster, it encourages you to use them more. Google is a fantastic example of this, that they spend immense amount of times optimizing every byte on the homepage and speeding up the delivery of their search results, because they know that it actually increases usage. And so for a system like Yobongo, where you can check into it and open it many times per day, every few seconds counts. So we're working to make it faster.
Okay. Well, we will look for the next update and the new cities, so everyone can know. Yobongo, get it. Go ahead.
Is that something? I was going to say also, do you plan to push it out to other mobile devices?
We do. iPhone is not the end game. However, we're really focused, because we are a small team, that we are really trying to build an experience that is immensely high quality and really, really polished, and things that we just think are we're super proud of. And right now, if we were to try and build on both platforms or multiple platforms, we feel like we'd be stretched very thin as a team of 3. And so with the resources we now have, that starts to change a little bit. But there's just so much to do to prove out how the app should work, even on one platform. and then bringing it to more as we understand what the dynamics are. So, for instance, Ponderings took a few weeks to do for iPhone, but if we had to do it on iPhone and Android, it would have taken double the time with the team because we had to do it on both, right? And so we wouldn't we can't do as many cycles of new things and experimentation and improvements when you have two development cycles. Now, at Justin TV, where I was previously, we had a larger team, and so we could actually work on both at the same time. So we had two designers, we had two teams of engineers on both sides, and a common infrastructure engineering team who could support both. And so there, you're not paying as large a penalty, where at Yobongo, we would pay a pretty big penalty to work on both. And so we're just not willing to make that sacrifice yet.
Next time I'll make Jeff just ask the right question. Jeff just wanted to know it was Android, but all right. Bring along, everyone. So Yobongo.com, get the app, download, and we will make sure we keep Caleb coming back at least a few weeks because, you know, he gets a little busy. So we had another one that went today. The YouTube founder stepped up today and bought Delicious. And at first it looked like a salvage operation that they wanted to step in and actually buy it. Well, Chad Hurley and Steve Chen said, sure, right, we'll take Delicious and try to salvage it. Sarah, did you write on this yet? Have you actually made a post yet?
Not me personally, but yes, ReadWriteWeb has covered it.
Okay. Well, give us your oversight real quick on what you think about the purchase or, you know, what they wrote about it.
Well, I'm kind of excited that somebody is taking control of Delicious because it's sort of one of those quintessential Web 2.0 services that I didn't really want to see die, even though I never really used it anymore. And I think the reason that I stopped using it wasn't so much that I wanted to stop bookmarking things. It was just that it became stale and they didn't innovate anymore around bookmarking. I don't think that bookmarking websites necessarily is a dead activity that I no longer need to do. Now, granted, I do, you know, Twitter searches and Google searches and Facebook searches and that sort of thing. But I think that there's still, you know, a need to manually bookmark sites. I do that a lot when I'm doing research, and I save like all the, instead of having 25 open tabs, I'll just save them as bookmarks in Google Chrome, and then just load up that whole folder later when I need to.
It's interesting.
So, I think there's ways that they could be innovative again with bookmarking. So I'd like to see what they come up with.
Yeah, because if you read their press release, and we should talk about that, and I want to go around everybody real quick, is one of the things is everyone should know is that, you know, old Chad and Steve there that founded YouTube, it was sold, as everyone knows, to Google, 18 months after, I guess they did it, but it was $1.76 billion. Before that, they were early employees at PayPal. So they've been around for a while, but one of the things they say in their press release, and then we'll go around, that I wanted to concentrate on, is they said they're moving everything in the next few months to, and I don't know how to say it yet, Avos or Avos. If anyone knows, correct us. But Avos or Avos, their company, they see a tremendous, this is from Chad Hurley, they see a tremendous opportunity to simplify the way users save and share content they discover. So I'm not sure what they could do uniquely that anyone else hasn't done yet, but you will be moving over. We'll talk about what you've got to do coming up in a minute, but you will be moving your stuff over from Delicious content into their new Avos or Avos system. So Wayne, do you see, you know, you're firing startups. Do you see a way for them to simplify Delicious and make it a better service?
Yes. Delicious has always been a great platform and had its value proposition for, you know, anybody who needs to save anything they remember. The problem has been, I think, of the mass user adoption for the non-geeks. So, and you look at interfaces and design and of products that are now, you know, going mainstream. They're simple, they are beautiful, and they still, you know, have their core value. So I think they can make the service like, you know, anywhere from, you know, I mean, you take a lot of people don't even know how to add a bookmarklet to a browser, and you make the service simple that where you don't even have to do that and still can save information to your Delicious profile. I think it could be successful. So I'm looking forward to see what the guys do with it. And I think the world is like waiting for new innovative products or even a revamp of an old product? Like, this is to say it is still here, it's cool now, it's the next phase of it, and see what happens.
Well, they're moving it back to San Mateo, California. So that's one thing that definitely doing. They're hiring is another part that they're doing.
So, come work for us instead.
Yeah, I figured that was coming. Did you? Because it's now a competition. So who here use Jeff, do you use Delicious still?
I don't really use it. I still have my account. I thought it was pretty cool someone bought it. I like Sarah, I didn't want to see it go away. One thing I hope is I go back to the old web address. I always liked it where it had the
.us.
Yeah. That was cool.
I know you're kidding.
Right. I got it.
No, I love that. I never
remembered where to put the damn period.
Oh, he's sorry, a true geek. Jeff is a true geek.
Exactly.
I still use it. It just routes it to the delicious.com.
Well, they're not going
to
give it up. So, Corvita, right. What about you? You haven't said much in a few minutes. What are you doing? Is she there?
I have a Delicious account.
I'm a Digo girl. That's my question. Is it the act of the service they provide that you don't use? Is it the features they're missing in Delicious? What took you away?
Nothing took me away. I think social bookmarking is it's not that interesting to me. There's really no innovation. Like, I'm not sharing my bookmarks with people, and joining these services don't really encourage me to be honest. Like, you can go through and see people's bookmarks, but that's so random, you know. So unless they can figure out a way to filter, just maybe filter what I would be interested in that my friends are bookmarking.
Well, it's funny you say
that. That might be an area for them.
Well, mm-hmm. That's what they say. And one of their lines is one of the problems they want to is helping you find information due to information overload. They see this as a problem. Not only video from YouTube, but also cutting across every information-intensive media. So for the past, 6 years since Yahoo bought it, Delicious has just been kind of floundering out there. It's been stable. Right. I haven't had a lot of complaints about people saying outage, but there hasn't been an increase in feature set or expansion in capability.
Is this the first time that Chad Hurley and his co-founder have now announced that they're not with YouTube anymore?
I haven't seen anything previous to this that says
seems like the bigger story, because Chad was still the CEO of YouTube.
Doesn't say he gave it up. I mean, that's what's so weird about this whole thing.
Yeah, that's weird. That's really weird, because I haven't seen anyone talking about asking, well, are you still with YouTube full time? Because if he's leaving YouTube, that's kind of interesting. Because I figured someone would buy Delicious.
Here you go. Yeah. Here you go. Here's your question. Sorry, I found the end. No, Jeff, you got the answer too. I found it though.
Yeah, on Wikipedia it says he stepped down in October of 2010.
Oh, wow.
But he's an advisor right now.
Well, Chen left in 2009, and then Hurley, what Jeff said, for there. And then Delicious.
Yeah. Missed that.
Josh Shader is now running a new company, Tasty Labs.
Yep.
And they were going to sunset Delicious anyway, so someone needed to pick it up, right?
Yeah, I did know that. I think the thing that's really interesting to me is the two things that I used Delicious for previously have now been split into two separate services. One is Instapaper and the other is Twitter.
Yeah.
And Twitter, for the discovery side, I used to use Delicious hot 24 hours, hot all week to find interesting things, which transitioned to Dig, which then transitioned to Twitter. And then I used Delicious a lot because I would get too many tabs open with long articles that I didn't have time to read. And it wasn't that I really wanted to keep it forever, because Google does a pretty good job of helping me find something if I really need it. It was that I wanted to sort of keep this list of things that I wanted to get to soon if I sort of forgot. Like, oh yeah, I wanted to read that Anantech article or that that long piece on Rewrite Web that Sarah wrote. And so basically Instapaper has now taken that, where I can click the bookmarklet and then it shows up on my iPad or my Kindle and gets delivered. So I'm curious how they think they will reinvent those two, sort of smash those two things together that drifted away, and why Delicious became less relevant was it didn't do either of those really well and independent
their
services.
Their first priority, according to their FAQ, is they're going to launch a new Firefox 4 extension. And here's the catch for everybody that I want to make sure we touch before we left them to see what they do is you will have to go in and accept the new privacy policy for AVOS before they will move your stuff over to the new system. So there's an opt-in that you must do or else your stuff from Delicious will not move. So everyone needs to be aware of that. So if you have an account there and you just want to make sure it continues forward, you should go and opt in.
I just got an email from Yahoo that alerted me to the sale and told me I could go switch it over. So yeah, they're sending out an email blast now. Yeah.
Was it easy? Was it painless, Sarah?
Except for the fact I had no idea what my Delicious
exactly. I had no idea what it was.
I had to reset it. And then I got in, and then you just put in your name and you confirmed your email and you hit a button and they're like, okay, great, you're all done.
So,
but they didn't migrate it yet. They just, that gave them permission correct. To access your data.
Correct. According to this, it'll take place a little bit later on.
Right.
I think that's, I think that's a corporate, like, I think that's their lawyer saying, we can't give our data to another corporation without permission.
Yes, totally.
I don't think it's anything about the service's functionality.
Right.
I think it's just they could sell the asset.
Right.
Yeah, that's
they can't just go in and take your data, basically. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Even though someone bought it. I think that's the reason.
You guys, the white iPhone is launching.
Yeah. Well, before we talk about that,
we
will talk about it just a second. So there's the tease. The white iPhone is everywhere. But first, we need to mention everyone. We have a new sponsor that is on board. And actually, I'm kind of happy finally. I guess we had to grow big enough. But Squarespace is now working with the Social Geeks as an official sponsor. We will have an offer code, but for now we have an official, you click our link and it takes you right to their landing stuff. If you guys haven't played with Squarespace yet, I actually tested it already doing a couple migrations. We probably will move the Social Geeks over to Squarespace itself. They will give you that 14-day free trial. No credit card needed. You can import WordPress, you can import from other platforms, or you can just create from scratch, but the drag and drop make it look so much nicer and prettier. Does anyone run a Squarespace blog yet out of our group? Anybody?
No.
That's fine. If you don't, go get a free one anyway. It's 14 days. But they're official sponsors, so we hope that you are looking at doing your new blogging platform, be it if you're moving from WordPress or if you're on something else, or guess what? You've never blogged and you're not good with design. It's easy as can be. Drag and drop interface, add widgets, add side stuff, add in your social networks. So you want to add Twitter in, drag it in. If you're a photographer or graphics media, drag the picture stuff in. I loved it. Straightforward, easy to do, so we're going to move our stuff over. So squarespace.com, we will have, like I said, our own keyword hopefully shortly. Hopefully it'll be Social Geeks. But until then, in the show notes, please click through and let them know that we sent you over, because there's a lot of you out there that listen to this lovely group. So Sarah, you brought up the point of the new white iPhone that's in the news.
Yeah, which is so exciting. It's been the mythical, you know, what did people call it? The unicorn, the tech unicorn.
Would you change? Would you get a white?
Spottings on the internet. Oh, heck no. I'm waiting for the iPhone 5 before I'm going to buy another iPhone.
Forget the iPhone 5. Would you get a white iPhone for any reason?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I wanted to get a white iPhone when they announced that there was going to be a white one, because I'm a girl and I like things that are pretty.
Would you get a white iPad?
I think I would. Yeah.
What about the rumors that say that it makes the looking at it a little bit off? It draws your attention away.
I don't know. That just seems wonky. I mean, in one of the Kindles, the Kindle comes in sort of like a grayish, beigey, right. Huge or something. I mean, I don't sit there and use my iPad from like dawn to dusk, so
we'll see.
I don't.
What, Corvita, you have an iPhone. Would you get a white one?
I prefer black phones
probably
myself.
Probably not.
Yeah, I prefer black phones. I like that the BlackBerry Playbook is black. I like black devices.
And Jeff, the Evo, thank goodness, is black. Now,
yes,
Wayne.
I had a white 2G, and that was just horrible when it got like scratched up and everything on the back. It just looks really off compared to the black phones, which kind of distracted from that.
I think it would be kind of funny if they had a white BlackBerry. That just sounds kind of funny to say.
They had a blue one. They used to have the blueberry. They used to have a blue one. Wayne, would you change to a white one?
No.
Okay, so who the hell is buying these things? I don't understand what the big drive is.
From my friends.
Well, no one, because it didn't exist yet.
No, I mean, who would? What is the drive to have a white one? Why not multiple colors like they do for the Nano?
I told you, it's pretty.
No, I'm saying, why not then five colors? Why not like they do for the Nano and have, you know, a red and a blue and a. Go ahead.
If they did a market research, I could be dead wrong, but for majority of my female friends that said they were waiting on a white iPhone. So. That's all I know. That's all the data I have.
Okay. You know what's bigger than white iPhones?
black
is
iPhones?
There's no tweets allowed at the royal wedding.
Did you try to sneak that in there? That wasn't even on the list.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Are you watching it? Going to watch it live, Jeff?
No.
You're taping it?
No, I'm not taping it either.
Liar. Okay. I bet he is. He snuck that. No tweets from the royal wedding. I'm unsure why when they're going to have Jay-Z and Beyonce there, you know, actually performing live. I don't even know where to go after he brought that one in. I know where we want to go. So hopefully the royal wedding doesn't end in one of our stores I wanted to get in just because it's so humorous. Is it? We didn't understand the way the word is pronounced, but it's... What's the country, Sarah? Tajikistan?
Tajikistan? Maybe,
and
yeah.
If we screw this up, I apologize now to anyone in that country or in, I guess it's Islamic. Yeah, it's Islamic. But Tolok. Apparently, if you SMS that to your wife, it stands for divorce. It actually then can divorce your wife. So it's an Islamic ritual where you can end a marriage by reciting the word three times. Well, they now will accept it over text. So if you wish to get divorced, you know, easier than the U.S., you just need to send an SMS with the same word three times. It's T-A-L-O-Q. Three times, and then you are officially as seen in the ritual as divorced. So I know this is not a big text story, but I thought it was humorous, to say the least.
It's sad. It's just sad.
It's like I said, I don't know what to share with you. Wayne's being totally quiet because he's sitting there trying to figure out, you know, how to remove his keys from his keyboard at this point in time.
I'm not touching that whole conversation.
We'll all get in trouble with our spouses or something if we discuss this on here.
Yeah.
Or worse yet, you sent it as a test, you know, to find out what it means when she looks it up, then you know, the hammer falls. But so this is actually a big thing, but they had it online, you know, how to get divorced in three simple words over SMS. I thought it was a good one right there. What other big news do we have as we approach our hour? Anything else you guys wanted to cover that we didn't have on the immediate list besides all the purchases today?
All the smartphone location tracking stuff.
Yeah. Apple, go ahead. Apple came out with, you know, their answer. Go ahead, Sarah.
It's all lies.
I think everyone's sort of familiar with the story, but I would like to hear from the others if anyone really cares.
Corvita? Go ahead. Who's first? Wayne?
Corvita, go.
Go, Corvita.
Wait, what's the question again?
Oh, geez. Do you care about the location data that was stored on your phone? Do you care?
Do I care? No, because I haven't been going anywhere illegally or anything like that. But I do care that I can't opt out of it. Like, I would appreciate the opportunity and the option to opt out of it at the same time. I would have expected at the very least that when I turn my location settings off, that would stop and that it wasn't permanent, especially since it takes forever for the Maps application on the iPhone to actually load something. I don't know I'm comfortable with it because that's just me being in the space. I'm very comfortable with that. I know that data has to be collected in some way in order for me to check in on Foursquare or even use the Maps application. So I understand that it's being collected, but the fact that it's sitting there unsecured for months on end and there's no way to turn it off on top of that, come on.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is that it's stored on your computer and it's synced when you're over iTunes. Right. Apple did acknowledge that, okay, that it should be encrypted and it should be able to delete, you know, off your computer when you sync your phone or when you turn location off. They did acknowledge that. But the thing is that the risk of somebody actually getting access to this data is very minimal unless you give your iPhone to somebody else's computer and let them sync, or you let somebody steal your computer and access, and they know where to go to access that folder with your iPhone location data. People are more likely to hack into your favorite location-based service than I think to access that data on your your iPhone's generation. So it was a big. I was at Wear 2.0 when it was that announcement was made. It was like they discovered the nuclear weapon. Like it was something, you know, amazing. Like, oh, we got a big scoop here. And I mean, I think it was some rewrite web writers that did it. I get it. Trust me, it's Apple, it's location, it's at Wear. I get it, but
so if they sync, I mean, your, if they sync your, if your wife syncs your device and sends you Tolok, you don't.
I will understand, but that it's just not happening. And then the fact that Google devices, Android devices, which make it like hit it like when you set up your account, you hit one yes or no, and then they can automatically, you know, latitudes turned on, yeah. Which I think 90%, well, I didn't say 90, but good small large percent, people don't really know or are educated about what latitude and Google does location devices. And I'm not saying bashing Google. I like Android device. I use a Galaxy Tab. But I just think the lack of education and the resilience of saying we have a hot story to talk about, you know, privacy and location is on going at Apple or either just smartphones in general is a huge mistake when we should be educating everybody about multiple services that actually share a location outside of just devices. And when we want to talk about privacy and location, the companies we really should be looking at is the actual mobile providers. It was said at Sprint, but you know, they actually, you know, provided, you know, FBI and police with, you know, had means of requests asking for location data because of crimes. Mobile carriers have access to our very movement by smartphones, and we can't opt out of that. Now, that's the serious debate. They can turn over a system right now and say, all right, we can see in this zip code there's a large amount of people because of the cell phone signal. They can do a heat map analysis. And then they have access, they want to go further detail. All right, well, let's do a heat map. Who's our door account? All right, what's the age demographic? Those are the companies that really we should talk about location and privacy and stop trying to give Apple Steve Jobs a hard time.
Skynet.
I latitude I had set to manual, so I know it's there, but I manually have to click to say where I am. The other device stuff, it is what it is. It's across everything that you do. I imagine it's, you know, somewhere it's stored on just about everything.
I think Wayne said it's more of education because, you know, the news just kind of makes it sound like it's doom and gloom where it's probably not as bad as it really is.
I don't think so. Caleb, you have any concerns?
I would say that I think anytime you get Apple with something that seems like it was hidden on an iPhone together, that is massive amounts of advertising revenue possibility, and therefore there will be lots of stories. I don't think that they were actually doing anything nefarious. I think they were legitimately just using the Wi-Fi access points. We knew that they had dropped Skyhook Wireless, which had provided them this sort of data in the past, and Apple loves to build their own systems rather than rely on partners whenever possible. And
Google.
They dropped Skyhook
as well, and you know they're recording data as well. It's just that I think the disturbing part about Apple's issue is that the phone, the file on the phone was just never being overwritten. It was just this unending cache of your location. And Apple has even responded to the senator's questions about all this, saying, yeah, that was a mistake and it's going to be fixed. So Apple is not entirely, you know, in the clear here. You know, maybe it was an innocent coding mistake, but it was a mistake. Right. At least they've owned up to it, but let's be clear. It was a mistake, you know, and it was out there and it has been used in forensics. Like the forensic community was aware of this long before these researchers brought it up at Wear 2.0, which was kind of a little inside baseball. Well, that was the debate on the internet was like, but this isn't new information. We knew about this and you didn't cite our work and blah, blah, blah. We wrote a book and here's a picture of the book we wrote about this. Like, so it's been out there. Like, this sort of just brought that kind of, you know, forensic knowledge that had been kind of a little more under wraps to the broader mainstream consumer audience and said, hey, look, did you know this was happening? And it forced Apple to fix a kind of important privacy-related bug in their software. So I think it was a good thing that it happened.
Agreed.
So one quick one before we go, just an announcement that came out today that we didn't even touch that I thought was cool is for those on iOS and on Android devices, Fring had their private beta, and I thought they're going to go, you know, freemium for a while and charge for this, but they released their four-way video chat over 3G, 4G, or Wi-Fi across iOS and Android devices. So now you can have multi-way video chat for free, kind of spanking, you know, the Evo services that they have built in with Quick, as well as FaceTime and the others, and actually now have a four-way video chat. Has anyone tried this yet? Or is this too new? It just was today.
Yeah, I saw that. I haven't tried it yet.
Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was today. Anyone else? Anyone tried it yet?
No, but if someone wants to try it after the podcast, I'm game.
I'm game. As soon as it's done, we're firing up a video chat, so everyone get your fring on.
I'm down.
Okay. I'm downloading it now.
Download it now. Mine's just sitting in the other room, so it didn't make any noise.
iPhone only?
No, iPhone and Android. And you can go cross-platform, meaning we can have a four-way call across the platform.
Cool.
Very nice. Very nice. So everybody, that's Fring. So where's everybody going to be? Let's go through. Corvita, what's going to be going on with you real quick?
That's soon to come. Soon to be announced.
Okay. So
something big, though.
We have a to-be announced.
Tell it. Tell it.
No, this is like dealing with Caleb for 6 months. Okay.
She's going to BlackBerry.
She's been bought. She's been bought. What about you, Caleb? Besides you, Bongo, anything else?
I'm just going to be hanging around San Francisco, so feel free to Yobongo me, and we can meet up for coffee if you're interested. No, it's not. It's great.
And if you need a job, Caleb's hiring, apparently.
Yes. There. Send me your resumes.
Mrs. Perez?
Apparently, I'm going to BlackBerry World.
Nice.
After all this discussion of how much we love the playbook. And that's in Orlando. Yep. So I might turn that into a temporary little vacation with the family.
Okay.
And Uplink, which is in San Diego, which is a Qualcomm event.
All right. It used to be Wes. Now it's BlackBerry World. So look for you there. Jeff, are you going to be anywhere? Are you going to be doing your normal 60,000 things there in KC?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing WordCamp in a couple months.
Nice.
And I'm also expecting my first baby.
Whoa. Yeah.
Congrats. No way. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You've launched your app.
Awesome. Yay. Breaking news. And you saved it for the end of the show.
That's right.
Jeff launches, awesome. Jeff launches his own app. All right. Well, we've had a rundown. Sarah did. Wayne, you've done the same. What about you, Mr. Sutton? Where are you going to be?
In May, the Black Enterprise Entrepreneurship Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, May the 22nd through the 25th.
Excelente. And then we know Corvita is going to be later on. For me, so three things. Okay. We launched another part of Spike Studios, which the Social Geeks is part of, launched a new podcast that came out. Episode 2 is already done. It's BlackBerry Today. It's all about BlackBerry. It's in HD for the playbook. So in the carousel on the playbook under HD, you will find it. It is available, also going to be coming through. It's already on iTunes and everywhere else. Thank you. That was a huge launch, surprisingly, for that. For those familiar, some of you should know this. Remember Byte Magazine? Everybody remember Byte? A few of you?
Yeah.
Caleb and Corvita are too young. So Byte Magazine.
I've seen screenshots.
It is coming back. You know, it wasn't print. It was the one of the Bibles for, you know, back in the day for geeks. Byte is back. It is going to be media online only. So everyone knows there. I am part of the tech team and editorial team there at Byte. Cool. So you will see that coming here. They moved it to, I believe it's June or July, be the official launch. But there is a cool team. Jerry Purnell is back. Some of the tech inside of it, the writers. Outstanding. They got a hell of a good team put together inside there. Gina Smith is running it all. She announced it on Twitter again, I believe, this past week. And then at the end of May, I will be back over in London and Manchester at UK Lug, which is at the end of the month in May. So that's where I will be the next few. So everyone needs to find us. You can find us online, The Social Geeks on Twitter. You can find us all individually. I always link all of our profiles and sites, including Mr. Social Wayne over there, his 50,000 things. All of us online. Jeff is a geek. Sarah in Tampa. Wayne Sutton. Caleb Elston. Corvita. Myself. I do notes. You can find us all there online. Did I miss anybody? I didn't. Online. And otherwise, you can give us a call. 323-45-GEEKS to reach us there if you wish. Anything else, guys, before we go?
No. Nope.
You can download my app.
Oh, damn. Try out? Or the new, which one?
Social Wayne. Shameless plug.
No, that's good. So the plugs at the end are good. And what platform is that available on, Social Wayne?
The iPhone only.
So Jeff will not be downloading Social Wayne.
Dang it.
Backup Android. And so everyone knows about the whole playbook thing. I spent at South by Southwest, the whole time I was there was with a person from BlackBerry, a good friend of mine actually, who wasn't working that week full. He's kind of side working with it, meaning he was there as himself, but you know, talked to everybody about BlackBerries. You can move pretty much any of these apps that are Java. They can be easily recompiled and put on without any effort from the developers. And he talked to one of the other group chat messagings that was there. We don't even worry about who. And they were like, it's that easy. He's like, yeah, you could be done tomorrow. So you should see an influx of apps hopefully soon. BlackBerry gets off their butt with that and the playbook and gets moving. So everybody, that is another Social Geeks. As usual, look for us in a couple weeks. It was glad to have the whole crew back. And we are out of here, everybody.